Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up this hour, a lot of NFL to get to. We're going to start talking about the games this weekend. Three on Saturday, Sunday full slate, and then Monday night. We'll go over the good stuff, stuff you should be interested in, whether it is worth your time or not. We'll go over all of that. Then Jared Dubin will join us, and we will talk to him about the Week 15 and the 14 previous weeks that are beyond that. Last night, again, the Niners go to 10-4. They clinched the NFC West. They beat Seattle 21-13. We had Stacey Rost on yesterday from Seattle, 7:10 a.m. in Seattle, to sort of talk about this season. And I always find it fascinating of teams who overachieve, right? Because their fan bases can be a one of two ways. And for the Seahawks, I'm very curious where most people are in Seattle. If you are in a position where at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of things that as a fan you could see as problems, right? Losing Russell Wilson is a problem, or maybe this is a concern, that is a concern. But when the team plays to a particular level, then naturally your expectations switch. But then when they go in the opposite direction, you have two ways to go about it. One, you can say, well, I didn't expect much, and now they're sort of playing to what I always thought they were. Or you can say, no, you've teased me enough, you've shown me something different than my expectation, and now I want you to live up to that, and you're not living up to that. This is a real losing skid for the Seahawks. This is now four of their last five games. They have not been the same team since they went to Germany. Even though they gave the Buccaneers a good little fight over there in Munich, they have not been the same team that started 6-3 and kind of were a darling team to watch out for. The Niners, we can get all into Brock Purdy like we've done this morning, but in the end, that's a well-built team. That's a well-organized team. Yeah, quarterback has been an issue, but they've gotten solid play enough to keep them, you know, at 10-4 and winning the division, one of the top teams to contend for a Super Bowl. But it's the Seahawks whose story I was more fascinated with last night. Where is this fan base going with this team? Because they've given them enough reason for hope that this season could be fun and interesting. But now they're looking like a team that may be on the outside knocking on the door, but the door is just not going to open come at the end of the season. All right, we'll go over all the games and give our likes and dislikes. When we come back, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this is the time. We kind of missed it last week because I had to take Friday off of last week. But we go over the NFL schedule, likes, dislikes, things we're watching out for, and whether or not it's worth your time. What I always like about doing this every year is, like, week one and week two and week three, we're, like, so nice. We're like, no, this is still a good matchup. I mean, it's early, but this looks like, but by the time we get to this time, it's like, nah, these teams stink. Don't bother. Ignore it. Go Christmas shopping. Go caroling. If that's on your TV, ignore it. We could do that. We'll see. So let's get rocking and rolling. We got three games on Saturday. Let me preface this by, any games that are on Saturday, even if they're bad, are kind of worth your time because Saturday games are cool. They usually are the big-time games. NFL Network will have all three of them. So sit back and enjoy the triple header on Saturday. We start with the Indianapolis Colts against the Minnesota Vikings. Are we at a point where we're worried, or not worried, but waiting for the Minnesota Vikings to sort of, whoops, sorry,
like fall off a little bit?
Yeah, we were, yeah, like, I think, yeah, we're at, you that thought point, we were great, but yeah, it's December now, and we're kind of,
yeah,
we'll see. Are we at that point? I don't know if it's going to happen against a Colts team, but
I mean, it's like you want to tell the Vikings, like, hey, you guys are going to win no matter what.
Yeah, well, you got to tell the Vikings you need to win, because if you lose to this Colts team, everyone's going to laugh at you, and everyone's going to say, see, we told you. Don't let it happen. Let U.S. Bank Stadium rock. Go out there and get the win over the Indianapolis Colts. But for the Vikings, they want to be talked about in the NFC like people are talking about the Eagles and the Niners and even the Cowboys. So you continue to win games, you'll be in that conversation.
I don't think anybody is. Because even though Cousins to Jefferson is awesome and all that, I still think people are like, you know what? I'll wait and see. I'll believe it when I see it. This team has been good before and let me down. We'll see. Ravens on the road at Cleveland. This is Deshaun Watson's first home game, right? Did they play in Cincinnati last week?
Is it? I don't care.
Is it? I don't care. But whatever. The Ravens don't mess around here. They still are without Lamar Jackson. They've won six of their last seven, but the last win came, or the last two and a half wins came without Lamar Jackson. But they beat a bad Broncos team. They beat a bad Steelers team. The Browns are bad, but dangerous now, I guess. Cincinnati's rolling, but so are the Baltimore Ravens. Both teams are 9-4. I hate the idea that this is a national game, quote unquote, given that it's the only game on at that particular moment on a Saturday and Deshaun Watson is in it, but nevertheless. Miami and Buffalo, this is the good one. 1-2 in the AFC East. Two of the better teams in the conference, if not the NFL. Weather coming in to Buffalo at Orchard Park at Highmark Stadium.
Heard about 9 inches of snow now.
Oh, 9 inches of snow. That's great. This should be even more fun. Don't move this thing to Detroit.
Don't.
Or don't just let it play out, people. Let's go. Let's play some football in Buffalo. But nevertheless, the Dolphins, they throw the ball great. Can they throw the ball great in a snowstorm? I don't know. Buffalo got Cole Beasley. They re-signed him. I guess he missed it enough that he wanted me to be back. That's great. But the Bills still are without Von Miller, who's done for the year. We haven't really seen the effect of that yet, and that could be a factor here.
Yeah, but you don't get the feeling like they're like a Niners defense.
Right.
Where the Niners, I feel like if the Niners lost Nick Bosa, I mean, sure, it'll hurt them, right, but they're still going to be
still got everybody
still be ridiculous.
Great, strong that they are. So we'll see how that plays out. But nevertheless, Saturday night with the weather coming in, two AFC beasts.
Yep.
This should be great.
And it's going to be cold, probably where you live.
Yeah.
So light a fire and look at some buffalo snow.
Get some hot chocolate, get by the fire, and watch some snow in Buffalo. Exactly. All right, let's go to Sunday. Eagles against the Bears. Two teams in totally different frame of mind. The Eagles are 12-1, and if you listen to them, they don't care about Micah Parsons' comments about Jalen Hurts because all they're focused on is the Bears. How much focus do you need for the Bears? They got rid of two of their best defensive players this season via trades. They run the ball, but they can't throw it a lick. They've lost six straight. They're 3-10. But the Eagles know a team can come up and bite you. And so they got to be careful because you never know in this crazy league. The Cowboys had to score a touchdown with 40 seconds remaining to beat the lowly Texans. So don't sleep. But that's where the Philadelphia Eagles are at 12-1. They are holding back a bit of a Cowboy team that is 10-3. Not your best game on the schedule, but if you're interested in how teams are going to play down the stretch, really good teams, this is at least a little bit on your radar. Atlanta and New Orleans. This is a rivalry that I don't think people pay a lot of attention to, but it's a divisional rivalry. It's not Cowboys-Eagles or Cowboys-Giants or Giants-Eagles or whatever. It's not Raiders-Broncos, but the Falcons and the Saints have a history against one another. Like they really don't like one another. They make fun of each other on social media. But here's the thing about this game. This game in week one had Marcus Mariota going up against Jameis Winston. Remember the number 1 and 2 pick in the 2015 draft? This version is Desmond Ridder, rookie out of Cincinnati, against Andy Dalton, who took over the job in week 4 and has not given it up whatsoever.
I think the Saints should start somebody else.
I think so, too.
Just to make it
fun. Just to make it interesting, right?
Yeah. This is a weird one because, Saints-Falcons, it's kind of like one of those AFC West rivalries or an NFC East rivalries that nobody knows or cares.
Nobody really cares, don't really like
each other.
If they were real playoff battles, like, over the years, you'd probably think
maybe,
about it.
Yeah.
It feels like whenever one was up, the other one wasn't quite so up, right? I know that the Matt Ryan years were pretty good to Atlanta, and of course we know Drew Brees and Sean Payton had the Saints rolling.
The other one's losing 28, blowing a 28-3 lead.
28-23 lead. So it's all one half dozen of the other, right? But it's even when they both were decent, it never felt like It was on the same level of a rivalry that you get with other rivals. It's not an NFC North battle. It's not a NFC East battle. But, you know, it's an NFC South matchup. There you go. How about the Lions and the Jets? Now, is this a five-star game? No, but it ain't a three-star either. This is right up there. The Lions are one of the hottest teams in the NFL. The Niners are the hottest. They've won seven straight. But Detroit has won 5 of 6. And here's an interesting statistic, folks. The Lions have scored over 25 or more points in their last 5 games. The Jets are 7 and 6. They're tied with New England. Mike White is still going to start at quarterback. And they're hanging on to their playoff lives. Because, again, they're not only tied with the Patriots in the division, they're tied with the Chargers as well. Now, if you're playing the game of where we are today, you figure Miami, Baltimore, Cincinnati, two of those teams are going to occupy some wildcard spots. If you've got three teams vying for it, this is an extremely important game for the Jets. And the Lions, too. The Lions' playoff hopes aren't dead. With the Seahawks loss last night, the Lions, if a win would put them in a 7-6, somebody's losing that game Sunday night, or I hope not a second tie, between the Giants and the Commanders. This is equally important for the Lions. Not five-star, but, man, it's close.
No,
and by the way,
close.
The story of the Lions is great this season.
And I feel like it was just a few weeks ago we were burying Dan Campbell.
Yeah, we certainly were.
You know, saying, you better turn this around, Danny.
1-6 they were. 1-6 with a defense that was giving up 30-plus points a game. It's terrible. It's absolutely atrocious. Bad decisions. I mean, he was a mess. And now he's turned it around. Steelers in Carolina. I talked about this earlier this show. The Panthers win the next 4 games. It does not matter what anybody else does because they've got Tampa Bay already a game in hand because they beat them and they got them again on the schedule. It will not matter. They don't need help from anybody today. They may need help down the road if they were to lose this game. They might still be technically in it depending on some. But right now they control their own fate. The Steelers may not have Kenny Pickett available. He's been dealing with a concussion. Mike Tomlin has opened the idea of Mason Rudolph seeing some playing time. The quarterback situation is a disaster. They are banged up. Freiermuth is questionable. Deontay Johnson is questionable. They got a lot of issues on the Steelers side in terms of injuries. As we mentioned with the Panthers, they're a fun little story given that they look like they're rebuilding. But again, they still have a chance to make the postseason. Sam Darnold has been playing really good those last 2 games. Who knows how long that lasts. It's not a premier game because the Panthers still have a lot to do to make the playoffs, and the Steelers aren't going to make the playoffs. It's probably like a 2, but if you want to throw the angle of what exactly are the Panthers doing, it might perk your interest a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, if you're the Steelers, lay down. You know?
Yeah, I know.
They just don't make it widely known. That's why I'm whispering it to you. But
right, yeah.
Go ahead and get a top 10 draft pick. It's
right,
fine.
Right.
No one's going to think
no
less
one's
of you.
Mad. No one's going to be
we
mad.
All expected it of you.
Yeah.
In fact, I think you've overachieved this season.
Especially if Mitch Trubisky's playing. I couldn't care less what he does.
Right.
You're not going to be here much longer
listen,
anyway.
Listen, you got what you wanted out of a Steelers team as a Steelers fan, right? You wanted to see what Kenny Pickett could do.
That's all I wanted.
Kenny Pickett looks like he can play in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
looks like he can.
Let's look at what you can do for next season now. Isn't there like a bright, shiny something coming up in late April that you might want to grab?
Be a little bit more fun. Yeah. The Cowboys go to Jacksonville.
Trying to sell it. I don't know.
You're doing a good job. Cowboys in Jacksonville. Listen, I'm going to say it. This love affair with Jacksonville, I get it. They just beat Tennessee. But everybody slow down a second. They are still a 5-8 football team that is equally likely to disappoint you as they are to play a really good game and win. That's who they are. There's not been a turn-the-corner moment at all this season. For every game they win, they turn around and lose a game they shouldn't. Trevor Lawrence is playing a lot better. That's a great thing for this team, as they've seen really good development in his second year. And you can throw out the rookie year because he was saddled with a moron NFL-level coach in Urban Meyer, who did not know how to grow professional players. But the second year he's playing well. I could see them getting, I could see them losing by double digits in this game, and I could see them winning this game. But I'm not ready to jump on the look out, Tennessee, Jacksonville's coming. Because Jacksonville has a way of getting off the track just as much as anybody losing a game or two to allow another team into it.
Honestly, it is just as easy for them to get on the track as it is to get off the track.
Absolutely. They've built no momentum. There's no consistency. There's no momentum.
Just when we thought, like, oh, Trevor Lawrence, hey, he had a hell of a game. He's right. He is the quarterback. No, he's not. No, nope. I'm sorry. No. Oh, maybe he's back now. Oh, let's take him. It's I'm tired of him.
Yeah,
move to London.
It's nuts. It's nuts. This team can really impress you. Like they'll beat a Ravens team that's really good, and then right. Lions they explode. Right, beat the Raiders. Well, losing to the Chiefs is acceptable, but then they beat the Titans. They can lose to the Cowboys. Now the Cowboys. Everybody, I get the Cowboys are a lightning rod. I get it, because everything they do is magnified. But this Texans, I have not stopped hearing this week, is something wrong with Dallas? Is something wrong
right.
with...
You can, oh, you no, Texans got no credit
none,
at all.
None.
It's probably because you still can't name one player.
Right, exactly. The Texans used a dual quarterback system last week that sort of kind of shocked Dallas a little bit, not knowing what Jeff Driskel was, and they put up more points than they had all season. So
yeah, we didn't really know what Jeff Driskel was.
I don't either. Speaking
sounds
of which...
Sounds like he's a son of somebody.
Right. So Kansas City against Houston. Speaking of the Texans, the Chiefs are a double-digit favor as well.
I think this will be just like that playoff matchup.
Yeah, right? Texans will be out to a 20, what was it, 24-0?
24-0 lead.
24-0 lead. And then we go, what happened? The Chiefs are favored by 14 points. 14. They are going up. They're going up against the worst run defense in the league. So Isaiah Pacheco could have a good game.
Yep.
There you go.
So basically, what Tony just said is put him on your fantasy roster.
Put him on your fantasy roster. Take my expert fantasy advice, even though I always come in last.
Yeah. Although, you know, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard didn't do anything.
Yes.
They missed out a golden opportunity.
I'm like the guy, when I say play Isaiah Pacheco against the Texans, I'm like that sports talk show host that goes, in my opinion, the NFL is the most popular sport in America. You can make the argument baseball, but in my opinion, football, yeah, I'm giving you the obvious. I can't play fantasy football to save my life. If my life depended on it, I couldn't win in fantasy football.
Well, that's because, Tony, you need to show up for the draft.
I guess
so. That's true. That's what hurts you.
That's true. Whenever they schedule the draft, I'm always like, yeah, I'm on vacation that week. And like, too bad, bring your laptop. I'm like, yeah, can we schedule? No. Can we? I'm going to be at a no. So I'm like, okay. One time we went to Vail for a weekend when the draft, and my wife never forgave me for that. Kids were down at the pool. She had to take them down to the pool while I was in the hotel room drafting players on my laptop. Not a fun weekend. Okay, we'll come back. We'll get the rest of the games as we hit into the late afternoon on Sunday as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Tony D.
All right, we're going to continue with the NFL schedule and give you the late afternoon games on Sunday. But a reminder, at Total Wine & More, you can save big on what you love this December with hundreds of deals on amazing wines and spirits. Get up to 35% off on over 200 different wines and spirits. And that's surprising because they've already got the lowest prices in towns. If you peruse their site, I was just there. You're going to see some great deals. I mean, I'm going to keep going back because there's a lot of really good deals on your favorite bourbon or Cabernet, maybe a craft beer, whatever you're looking for. And if you don't, and you kind of know, but you don't know, they've got a really friendly and knowledgeable staff that can help you through that process to help you find exactly what you're looking for and at the lowest price that they have. Their app is easy to navigate. It's one of those things where you'll really find it very easy to do. You'll get the best deals, and you can get these favorite bottles delivered right to your door. Love what you find at the lowest prices, only at Total Wine & More. It's Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21. All right, let's continue the NFL schedule. These are the late afternoon games. So it's a battle of the backups in Denver as Arizona takes on the Broncos. stay away from this one for your health. Just do. Just like if you're struggling with something, don't add this to your diet. It's bad for you. Like think about like what Will Ferrell eats in Elf, like all of that sugar and grossness all together in one. That's this game. You've got Russell Wilson with a concussion. He might not even play. Brett Rippon could play. You've got Colt McCoy for Arizona because Kyler Murray's out. These two teams stink. It's been disappointing. They had high expectations, no expectations now. They're junk. Stay away from this game. It's good for your health. Find something else. Maybe there's a nice Christmas pageant you can go to if this is the only game on. I don't know. I'm just advising you, stay away from Denver, Arizona. There's nothing good that's going to come out of this. Nothing. There you go. How about the Patriots at the Raiders? Boy, would this have been a better game if the Raiders had won last week against the Rams? If the Raiders had just held on and didn't let Baker Mayfield beat them, you'd have a really, really interesting game. Because you would have the Raiders on a four-game win streak at 6-7, and you'd have the Patriots at 7-6, and you'd have this sort of interesting Josh McDaniels now has a lot to play for against his former team, etc., blah, blah, blah. But now I'm getting the feeling like the Raiders are just hitting and hoping here that somehow, some way, 9-8 just might be good enough to get a wild card spot in, and I don't know if it will be. They do get two weapons back. Darren Waller is back, and Hunter Renfrow are going to be back. The Patriots' defense, I don't know if it's surprisingly good, given that Bill Belichick is the head coach, but it's sneaky good this year. We've talked a lot about good defenses. I don't think the Patriots are getting enough credit for being a really good defense. 18 points a game, they're only giving up. Offensively is where they struggle. They're not good in the red zone. They've not been effective very, very, very much in doing anything offensively. They make you nervous offensively, but defensively they're good. It's McDaniels versus the Patriots. It's Belichick versus the McDaniels, however you want to put it. But man, it would have been much more fun if the Raiders had something to play for. How about Tennessee against the Chargers? You excited for this one at SoFi? 7-6, Los Angeles. The Chargers throw the ball well. We know that. Justin Herbert, number two quarterback in the league. They are, this is what they do. They're 7-6. The Titans are 7-6 in a different way. They run the ball well with Derrick Henry. But the Titans have lost three straight. The Chargers, Chargers defense, though, does not stop the run very well at all.
No. And
they give up around 150 yards a game on the ground.
So guess how much Derrick Henry's going to get?
How much Derrick Henry?
He's going to get at least 150.
150, yeah. They're going to just keep giving him.
That's the problem with the Chargers. And like I've been saying all season long, they play to the level of their competition, so it all depends on what Titan teams comes out.
Yeah, right. If the Titans are struggling and can't really move the ball that well, they've been talking about Treylon Burks. He had that concussion last week, et cetera. So, but Derrick Henry is the stir that stirs the drink in Tennessee. You're going to see a lot of passes from Herbert, that's what he does, and runs from Henry, that's what he does. So I don't expect anything different in this game. But both teams are 7-6. One's a little bit more secure in their 7-6 than the other one. Cincinnati against Tampa Bay. It would just be like Tom Brady to play well enough to win this game, but he's got nothing. There's something wrong with this Buccaneers team. How in the world can, I mean, again, as a guy that's been following this sport my whole life, there are certain things that bewilder me. How can Tom Brady be the fourth leading passer in this league and they can't score more than 17 points a game? He's Tom Brady. It's not like remember when John Kitna used to sling it all over the place for the Lions, but they would lose? It's not that the Buccaneers are losing. It's not like they're losing 34-30. They can't score more than 17 points a game. And Brady's is having a good season. He's not really struggling in the metrics that you would talk about a quarterback struggling. They're struggling because they can't score in the red zone, and they can't score, period. What are we talking about? The Bengals can. Remember that 0-2 start for Cincinnati, and people were wondering about Super Bowl hangover and everything? Boy, they've clicked it into high gear. All right, how about the Giants and the Commanders? This better not end in a tie. That's all I got to say. 2020, last time they played. Both teams 7-5-1. Washington 6-1-1 over their last 8. The Giants are 1-4-1 over their last 6. Throw out the record books. It's a divisional rivalry. That's your Sunday nighter. And then the Rams and the Packers. Who would have thought this would have been a dud on Monday night between two playoff teams last year? But it is.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, we were just touching on the schedule, and that Monday night game, it's too bad that we had two teams that were, one won a Super Bowl, one was the NFC top seed, and now Monday night, yeah. Jared Dubin joins the CBS Sports as we go over the NFL and what we were expecting in Week 15 that already got started last night with the 49ers beating Seattle. On our Progressive guest line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at Progressive.com. How are you, Jared?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Your takeaway of Brock Purdy, he seems to be the man of the hour. Everybody wants to talk about how good he's playing and how much poise he has being a 22-year-old rookie and doing what he's doing with San Francisco. What was your take of him last night?
I mean, it's pretty impressive. It helps to have Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Kyle Shanahan aiming you into success, a defense that, doesn't let the opposing team move the ball, so you're in advantageous situations pretty much all game. But you're still a seventh-round rookie finding success in three consecutive games, and I think you have to be impressed by that no matter how good of a situation he's in.
How impressed are you with the 49ers defense? We've seen good defenses making runs to championships. Every time I see them, I get more and more like, this is really real.
Yeah, and it's even more impressive because they've been dealing with injuries throughout the entire season. Emmanuel Mosley's been out for a while. Jason Verrett's been out for a while. They haven't had Javon Kinlaw for a while. They lost Dante Johnson last week. Arik Armstead was out for a significant chunk of the season. Now, Kevin Givens was out this week too. Like, there's just so much talent there, and they're so well coached by D'Amico Ryan. It's not a defense that any offense would want to play against, I don't think.
For the Seahawks, it's a loss that now it's 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6. They're 7-7 now after being 6-3. What does that loss mean, though? They're still in the playoff picture, but it does feel like things are falling apart. Tyler Lockett got hurt. They can't stop the run. Geno Smith may play well enough, but not well enough to win a game. But where do you see the Seahawks' status today?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're probably going to be on the outside looking in the playoffs just based on, the math of all the different teams around them, especially when you look at, they're competing with some teams where I can't remember who I saw this from on Twitter, but the Giants, the Commanders, I guess I still have to call them, and and the Lions, they all have opponents in Week 18 that might be playing for nothing, which is a difficult spot to be in. Washington plays Dallas, the Giants play Philly, and the Lions play Green Bay. So it's entirely possible that those teams could all come away with wins. Just, from not really having to try all that hard against, opponents that may not have anything to play for in that final week of the season.
How do you read the Lions situation? I mean, they were 1-6, and now they're one of the hotter teams in the league right now, and Jared Goff is playing very well. But this was a team that made no bones about it. They were stripping everything down last year. They were going to start all over. The quarterback of the future was somewhere else. Is Jared Goff going to be do you feel like he's playing for that future quarterback role, or do you think it's, in the end, it's a nice story, but the prize is somewhere down the road?
I mean, I tend to lean more on the latter. I feel like these days, if you have a quarterback that you can win with instead of a quarterback that you win because of, I feel like you're working from a disadvantage against the best teams in the league. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go out and find whoever that guy is this offseason, but this also might be their best chance to do it. Like, they're probably not going to be picking, close to the top five in the foreseeable future after this, but they have that Rams pick
this year.
So if the guy is there, you might as well go get him. And that doesn't mean that guy has to replace Jared Goff right away. Maybe it can be like an Alex Smith situation where, you give Goff another year and you don't have to pay whatever dead money is on his contract for next season. I don't think it's that much, and I think they do save money by cutting ties, but that doesn't mean you have to get rid of him, and he can still keep the offense functioning at a, pretty high level as long as the protection is there for him and basically as long as he has Amon-Ra St. Brown out there, because whenever he hasn't been out there, the offense is pretty much falling apart.
once again, we have a division, and these pop up every now and then where it's just weak, and it looks like a team with a non-impressive record will win it and go to the playoffs. It's keeping Carolina and Atlanta afloat in the division that's led by Tampa. But Tampa's intriguing. This is not a bad year statistically for Brady. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He's fourth in the NFL in passing. Yet they can't score. Why can't they score?
Their offensive line is not very good this year. Obviously, they lost, in essence, four of the starters from last season due to injuries and poor play and things like that. And, you know, free agency and retirement. And so that infrastructure that they had that made them so dangerous to deal with, because Brady would get the ball out so quickly, but not just quickly, like, on short passes. He would get it out super quickly and push the ball downfield. That's not really happening quite as much this year. Everything's going to Chris Godwin and to the running backs. Like, you've seen the connection with Mike Evans has been off for the last several weeks. I don't think he's scored since like October or something like that, which is crazy for a guy who like has made his living scoring double-digit touchdowns. I think he had like 25 over the last 2 years, and now he hasn't scored in like 6-7 weeks or something like that. So, I mean, I think a lot of it is the offensive line. And, you know, yeah, Brady is fourth in passing, but he's thrown a gazillion passes.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they can't score, right? Because yeah, they're getting back in games.
Yeah, he's taken more sacks this year than over the past couple. And obviously some of that is the offensive line, but some of that is also, you know, him not getting rid of the ball quickly enough at times. Like, they're still getting rid of it fast, but not quite as fast. And when they do, it's not going down the field. So it's, you know, you got to have more drives where, you know, you're moving the ball down the field in small chunks rather than creating those big plays. And it's just much more difficult to score that way.
How concerning are you with the Tennessee Titans now that they've lost three in a row? They've lost to two very good football teams, but that one at home against Jacksonville, they didn't look good in that. Is the wheels coming off a bit, or is this just a hiccup of something that's very fixable?
I mean, I wasn't that high on them when they were riding high, so I guess it's difficult for me to ascertain. Like, I didn't think that they were that good of a team. I thought they were playing sort of over their heads, which is something that, you know, I think Mike Vrabel has gotten his teams to do pretty consistently, and now I think their record has sort of leveled off to where the talent level probably is. I don't think they're necessarily in danger of, like, blowing that division lead or anything, but I also don't think they're necessarily, like, a serious threat to go that far in the playoffs. So that's kind of where I've been throughout the season, and their record has now just sort of come down to match that, I guess.
Can you give me a little idea of what you're thinking about in the AFC and that race of the 7-6 teams there? Every one of them's got an issue, of course, at 7-6. Patriots, Jets, and Chargers. How do you handicap those three as we head down to the final four games?
Well, I think the best unit on any of the three teams is the Jets defense, but the worst unit on any of the three teams might be the Jets offense.
Yeah.
It also might be the Patriots offense or the Chargers defense, but it's just like, because of that, I think the Chargers are maybe the highest ceiling team of the three. Now that they've got, you know, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen both back in the fold, I think you saw that their passing game just looked so much better when they actually have somebody who can threaten defenses down the field, like they were able to against the Dolphins last week. Like, just having somebody who can catch a pass more than like 10 yards down the field makes such a difference for them, especially since, you know, one of their quarterback's biggest strengths is that he can make, you know, any throw in existence. And, you know, their defense obviously still has some pretty significant challenges, and the Jets defense is going to keep them in games, and the Patriots defense is going to keep them in games. It might come down to, like, you know, who stays healthiest the rest of the way. Like, you know, the Patriots are dealing with some injuries on offense right now. Like, Ramondre Stevenson, Jacoby Myers are like the only guys that have been able to move the ball for them offensively. They're both hurt right now. You know, the Jets have Mike White dealing with an injury. Seems like he's going to play this weekend against Detroit, and then the Chargers have been dealing with injuries throughout the season, but whichever of those teams stays healthiest might just have the best chance.
I want to ask you this before we let you go, and it's about Dallas. I kind of get in a media world, we do it here too. We take questions and we may blow them up a little bit, but everybody seems to be asking the same question: if that win against the Texans and how they had to do it is concerning. Is that hyperbole, or do you not trust Dallas?
I'm a Cowboys fan, so I don't trust Dallas.
Okay, there you go. That seems to make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, it's been since I was eight, since they went to the Super Bowl. And over the last 27 years now, they've been teaching me not to trust them. So
right.
I don't trust them, even if they have the profile of a team that you should trust based on the way, you know, their defense has played all year and the way their offense has played since Dak got back from his injury. They're, like, leading the league and scoring by a mile. They're, like, I think second or third in EPA per play during that time. And they're just absolutely rolling. And, you know, yeah, they had a tough time against a team they shouldn't have had a tough time against. But, you know, so did, like, the Eagles against the Colts a couple weeks ago. And I don't think people were saying, you know, you can't trust the Eagles anymore after that game. Obviously, the Texans are worse than the Colts. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't want to struggle against them. But, I mean, it's one game. You still got the win. Like, I don't think it necessarily means anything about that you can't trust them, but I don't trust them because I've been taught not to trust them.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Jared, great stuff. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to you, my friend. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
You got it. Jared Dubin, CBS Sports. I like that. Yeah, but it's true. It is true. I think we do overblow games, though. It's really the nature of human, you know, relationship to sports teams. I get it. It happens. And no matter how much, again, you've watched this league, no matter how many years you've watched it, where you've said to yourself over and over again, I know anybody can win. I know it's any given Sunday. I know it's still, there are games where you go, how in the world is this happening? And I think if you're a Cowboys fan and to watch them have to go all the way down the field in 98 yards to score a touchdown against the Texans in the final minute to win a game against the Texans at home, it naturally is going to raise questions. But Kansas City was in a dogfight with Denver, who came back from a 27-0 deficit to make it a one-score game. That was a one-score game for a lot of the second half. Like, you're just going to have games and moments where somebody's scheming you and they're going to beat you. It doesn't mean that the world is falling apart.
But the big difference is that we never thought Kansas City was out.
No, right. We
kind of
never
knew, thought
they were going to lose the game.
Yeah,
right.
Kind of. Yeah. But the Cowboys were like,
yeah. To Kansas City's credit, they never trailed in the game, right? The Broncos just made it a lot more interesting when they came back.
If you're a Cowboy fan, do you hate the fact that you're most likely going to go to Tampa Bay?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the playoffs, in the first round of the playoffs?
Absolutely.
Because out of all the wild card teams or out of all the division winners, that's the one you'll most likely lose to.
And the Buccaneers would probably scream, hey, a couple of years ago we had to go to Washington for a playoff game. So, you know what? Whatever. You know? What was that line Matthew McConaughey has in Wolf of Wall Street? Fugazi, Fugazi, it's all the Wahoozy. Whatever it is, right? It's just the way this league is, man. It's natural. I mean, it's not. If your team has got 10 wins or 9 wins at the time, and you're struggling against the worst team in the league, you go, what's going on? But you know, those things happen. But yeah, I like what he said. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I don't trust them. Good point. All right, it's Wake Up Call as we wrap up the hour.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with his Wake Up Call, and thanks to Jared Dubin. It can happen so easily. You're out with your friends and coworkers, you're putting back a few drinks. A few becomes too many. It's time to go, and for a moment you think, you know, you're going to call for a ride. But nah, you're a good driver. You live nearby, you can make it home okay. And what are the odds of you getting pulled over, right? Even so, what's the worst that could happen? You lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Play it safe, plan ahead, get a ride. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, so I want to thank Jared Dubin for his thoughts on week 15 in the NFL. Don't forget three games tomorrow. Rest of the schedule on Sunday, plus your Monday night game, which is a dud. College football bowl games start this afternoon. Should be rocking and rolling in Nassau in the Bahamas. How'd you like to get that job, though? Like that assignment where you go, guys, get this. We're going to a bowl game. It's in Nassau. Must be thrilled to be flying out to the Bahamas to play a football game.
Nobody skips out. If you're an NFL prospect, nobody skips that one, right?
Coach, can I come back? I know I said before this whole thing I wasn't going to play.
You know, final game of the season. I know I said I'm out.
Yeah. All, do they get to stay at Atlantis? Is that, that's always a big, nice resort down in the Bahamas.
I don't know. Is that in Nassau?
I think it's in Nassau, yeah.
They got to stay like in a team hotel, right?
It's funny. Where do they play?
At a Clarion or something?
Yeah, probably, right? Where do they play?
No offense, Clarion.
I was just in Nassau over the summer on a cruise. I didn't get to tour the island to find out where they would play the football game, but it must be kind of nice.
I can't imagine they have a big stadium.
No, I can't imagine either. And
like a high school field or something?
Is anybody like, okay, so then you've got fan bases from both teams. They're going to go. Like you probably have some families that are like, yeah, let's go. Let's go Bahamas and see this team. We got some disposable income this time of year. But are the locals into this? Like, do local Bahama citizens, do they go to these bowl games?
And honestly, seating-wise, do you have to bring your own chair?
Right. Do you? Yeah, exactly.
You know, is it like Little League? Like Pop right. Warner?
Right. Sit on the sidelines? That's what it is? Yeah. Or is everybody just happy to be there to just beach, drink a little rum, have a good time in the Bahamas? I love the Bahamas. That would be a great trip. So anyway, that's going on today. And then you've got the Cure Bowl in Orlando that's going on today as well. So a lot of football this weekend. All right, we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.